will remain the same. Thank you, Taylor. One of our seniors that's graduating this year. And before I continue, we want to also acknowledge on USAB with our youth leaders. So I'm going to have them stand at this time. We got, of course, y'all know Cecil. You know what I mean? Cecil does Cecil things. He's always here, and he's just helping us do things, awesome things with the young people. His wife, that's been a rock next to him for years and years. We got to do this together. And my brother, Cap Aaron, is here. Thank you, guys. I know Tashelia is not here, and Latrice, a couple other. There's Tashelia. Glad to see her there. Pray for us, guys. the way I consider youth ministry is that it's like the secret ops of the military. They send us in before the military shows up to take care of things that nobody sees, but years later they come and we see the benefits of what they did. Nobody really knows and can really feel it, but years later, God has taught me that if you try to, if you walk into youth ministry with your feelings, you might get them hurt. But years later, you'll get the thanks. It's a thankless job initially, kind of like parenting. Parents, I know a little glimpse of what you guys deal with. They don't thank you when they're teens, but later on, they come back and they say thank you. I get it. It took me 10 years of figuring out what you guys go through. But yeah. The title of today's sermon. And it's really a two-part series, how to be and how to find a winner. Let's pray. Father in heaven, may your word be simple and clear today. And Lord, may every heart and mind that hears these words look for and listen for a little nugget, a little gem of truth that they can apply to their lives today. And Lord, as you won on the cross of Calvary, help us to win today. In Jesus' name, amen. The main point of today's sermon, in order to be and find a winner, remember this is a two-part series that I decided at the last minute to split it up into two series. So the next sermon I preach will be part two to how to be and how to find a winner. So in order to be and find a winner, we must be willing to do what chicken dinners won't. I'm explaining what chicken dinners are. Jesus died so we all have the opportunity to win, not only when he returns, but today. Points that we're going to cover today. Winning. Chicken dinners and jive turkeys. We're going to talk about it. Winners and chicken dinners, jive turkey, then winners. So winning and then winners. And then we're going to wrap up with how to win. Okay? So the important thing about winning, everybody loves to win. How many of y'all love to win? You know, we have our board game guys group, but it has transformed. Now it's gone to the next level. Shout out to the Kingsmen. That's the new name of it. Okay, so we got My Sister's Keeper with the ladies. They're doing their thing next week. Bring your young ladies out. It's going to be fun. But now the fellas, we got something special called the Kingsmen. My chest just sticks out a little bit further when I get to work with the young people. We had a great time, and we went to the car show down in D.C. We had a great time, and, you know, fellas, guys like cars, and even ladies like cars. But we had a great time, and we talked about, you know, how just like how those cars are genuine and special, that we are as special, even more so than any antique car they had at that car show. You can make another car, but you can't make another you. So we talked about that. So we had a great time. So winning, when we win, is something about winning that gives momentum. Winning gives momentum so that when you are part of a winning team, it's something about it. It's like a magnet that just galvanizes and brings people towards you when we win, right? Winning gives momentum and it attracts. So when we win or when we're winning, that tends to have a snowball effect. Okay? So winning not only gives momentum, but it attracts. And usually, you don't find winners hanging out with non-winners. Or what I'm getting ready to talk about is chicken dinners. So when I call, I've been doing this a long time, but let me just, this is the final, so everybody's clear and on the same page. A chicken dinner, and this is in the dating context, or even in a friendship context, okay? When the best part of your date with that person, when you go out with them, is the chicken dinner. They have nothing else to bring to the table, no kind of goals, no kind of aspirations, no kind of engaging conversation. All they have, the best part of that night, you remember? Is, man, I had the chicken marsala. That's it. So when you get labeled a chicken dinner, that means you have nothing else to bring to the table. Now, a jive turkey. Hear me now. Now, I'm doing this on purpose, guys. I want to crack jokes so that you guys, so the importance will sink in, okay? So when you are a jive turkey, you can also be a chicken dinner. They are synonymous. They can be interchanged, okay? So both terms can be interchanged. Jive turkey is an equal opportunity label that can be applied to anyone, regardless of race, gender, age, socioeconomic status, religious background, etc. So you can be a jive turkey, male or female. Okay. Okay. So we talked about winning and we talked about job. Okay. So now let's talk about the definition of what it means to win. Okay. The dictionary defines it as to be successful or victorious in, as in a contest or a conflict. Okay. Whether we believe it or not or recognize it or not, we are in a conflict, church. And it's important for us every day we wake up as Christians to have a winning mindset and a winning attitude. We shouldn't walk out the door thinking about the negative, the things that won't work, all these other things. Because we have Christ and we're connected to Him and His power, we should have a winning mindset. Everything I touch, I will win at doing. No more of this defensive, cowering, afraid, fearful mindset as that we need to walk out of our door every day as Christians. There's only one person who wants to have a fearful mindset walking out the door every day. And that's the enemy of our soul. We need to have confidence in who we are as Christians, who we are and what purpose that God has planned and ordained for us. And I say it all the time. God in all of eternity has never or will ever say oops. He knew you would show up and he thought of your great, 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 great grandparents with you in mind for 2018. God doesn't play around. He is a very, what I think I appreciate about God is he's very smart and he's very deliberate. You showed up because he wanted you to show up. I don't care what parent, some parent that was distracted and feeling all in themselves and say stuff like, oh, you were an accident. You were never meant to be here. That's a lie. We need to have a winning attitude. Listen, one of my favorite texts in the Bible, Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. This is a winning text. Right at the beginning of Psalms, it hits the ground running. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, okay? But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and part I love, whatever they do will prosper. That's the winning attitude that we as Christians need to have. Winning attitude, young people, that you need to have. Because think about it. If I'm not winning, then what am I doing? It's simple, but see, sometimes, especially let me talk to the young men today. Sometimes when we say, I have to win, that means it's effort. That means I have to maybe get up earlier than everybody else in the house. Maybe I have to work longer and do more of the heavy lifting. And listen, this is something, man, I mean, just when I look on social media and different things, I see, you know, hashtag black girl magic. And, you know, there's a women of color that are doing amazing, awesome, trend-setting things, changing our world. And even on the hashtag Me Too, they're stepping out and exposing the assaults and the victimization that they've occurred from the hands of men. And they said no more, and now it's time for us to stand up. I mean, it swept the whole planet, y'all. Women are stepping up to the plate. But what about us, guys? What about men? Listen to me. One of my favorite quotes. Let me read this here. The greatest want of the world is the want of men. Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who in their inmost souls are true and honest. Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men who are as true to duty as a needle to the pole. Men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. That sounds like a man that's a winner in my mind. And I quote that. I try to live by that principle. But sometimes being a man, Dean, in these days, we have taken a back seat to what I believe God has ordained for us to take. And we've allowed the women to be mother and father to our children. And to do all the heavy lifting in our home. But God taught me when I was going and 10 years of marriage. Amen. But God has finally taught me that, listen, I say, anything wrong in your house is your fault first. See, I need y'all to understand this thing. This thing is serious, men. I finally, listen, fellas, I'm not perfect, y'all. I am not perfect. I've made mistakes. But I said, you know what? I might get knocked down, but I'm not going to stay down. That's what winners do. They don't stay down. Men, we need to stand up in our homes. And guess what? Listen, I'm going. And young men, listen to me. Y'all might not be married yet or have a relationship or anything yet. But listen, you need to plan now for what you want in your future spouse. I don't care how young you are. I have my fifth grade. Me and my wife and I are blessed to go over to Tacoma County Prep every Friday morning. We go and talk to the young people, to our fifth grade class. Shout out to my fifth graders. And we split the guys up. She takes the young ladies. I take the men. Okay? And I told them, listen, in fact, that's where we get ready to start with our TP Talk series, How to Be and Find a Winner. We're getting ready to start that series on the relationship side. Cecil wrapped it up with the friendship side last night. Next, on the second, we're going through and starting out the relationship series. And the first one I'm going to do is the list. We need a list, fellas and ladies too. Listen, this is important. You don't wait until you're walking down the aisle to figure out what you're looking for in a spouse. You need to have that list together, and you need to start writing that list, and you tweak and adjust as you see fit, and you have I'm gonna talk about this, but you have a couple deal breakers on there. So number one, you don't sit and waste time with chicken dinners and job turkeys. You are able to weed them out. It's like an infrared. That list is an infrared. Doot, doot, doot. So you know how not to waste time because they don't match up. They're not worthy of your time, ladies. Stop letting job turkeys hang around you in your space, blowing up your phone. Pastor Cozy got it. Don't let them be sliding up in your DM. You should block them, especially if you already know they're a job turkey. Let me talk about job turkeys a little bit more. Listen, job turkeys are constantly complaining without even considering a resolution or plan to resolve the issue. They get around you and all they do is complain. Say it with me, job turkey. So when I put my head here, I want y'all to repeat with me. So. Okay. Have no plan for their life 1, 2, 5 years from today. More concerned with the outward appearance than inner character. Hang around with other job turkeys. leave the person they are dating worse off than before. When you date someone, and if you're a winner, that person should be better off after seeing this, whatever reason things don't work out. That person shouldn't want to come to your house and throw eggs at your house or slash your tires. I'm talking about men and women, by the way. We have to want to be a winner so that even when things don't work out, because they were in my presence and were able to spend time and heard my goals, my aspirations and desires and things I want to do, the things I want to accomplish, they became better. So you need to ask yourself now, if the person I am with, see, the Bible says things like Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron. Are they sharpening you or making you dull? Let me keep going. And see, the other thing about winners, listen, championship teams, their goal is not just to win one championship team, but to develop a dynasty of championships, multiple. And it's the same principle with the apple tree. Okay, the apple tree, the job of the apple tree, the purpose of the apple tree is not just to make apples, but other apple trees. So we as Christians, it's not only our job to have the character, to have the fruit of the Spirit, but to multiply ourselves and make other Christians. See, winners have a multiplication principle in their mind. Whatever I'm around, I multiply. Whatever my hands touch, it multiplies. That's the kind of the Joseph's mindset. Everything he touched in prison multiplied. Four things that a winner has. Listen to me. Number one, winners have a written game plan for their life. Written. That you look at on a regular basis. I challenge you young people all the time. Pastor, I say, get up. Okay, write it down. Yes, write it down. Yeah, I'm gonna keep saying it. Because hopefully by 4 years, and maybe you'll get annoyed with me and finally sit down and write it down. But it's something powerful about writing things down. Listen, when we write it down, when we have the auditory, when we have the visual, when we have tactile? Kinesthetic, there we go. The kinesthetic, writing it, that all helps your dreams become a reality. Stephen Covey, who wrote the book Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, said that everything in life is created two times. First, it has to have the blueprint, then the actual building. Your life needs a blueprint, then the actual building can be a reality. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 3, it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans, written plans. But he can't establish anything if you don't have it written down. Oh, I have a lot of ideas, Pastor. I'm like, until you write it down, it's just a wish. So winners have a written plan for their life, okay? And I talked about this earlier. They are socially sharpened. And one of my favorite new dudes, Cecil, is Jim Rohn, okay? Jim Rohn is serious. Yeah. Y'all should look him on YouTube. And he said something. You are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. You, five people equal you. How they think, what they're doing, what they're not doing, the goals or aspirations they have, you have more times than not. Young people, this is serious. Your whole future can hinge on the friendships you choose today. Or that you have today, your whole future. But we as winners, we need to surround ourselves with other winners. And see, now it's one thing, and not to your old pastor, wait a minute, but I've been friends with this person for 5, 6, 10 years. I can't just kick them to the curb. No, you should be the friend that has, that friend, you can help them, lift them up. But they shouldn't be dragging you down. You should be encouraging them and say, hey, come on, let's do this together. And more times than not, when I listen to young people, and I listen to, especially the young ladies, they're killing it in the school. And when they walk down the aisle, they got all the cords and everything. And more times than not, when you talk to one of the young people that has a 4.0 or whatever, they more times than not study with other 4.0 students. This makes sense. We get it. But do we get it? Winners, so they're not only, so they have a written plan, they are socially sharpened, Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Number three, so they are financially and physically fit. Now, this is for the young adults now. How come that guy is always broke that you hanging around? You know, I mean, no money. And this has been for years. I'm trying to get my money tight. You know, I've got this plan. Got this, you know, nothing written down. You know, just talking. Going from situation to situation, job to job, bouncing around, no kind of stick-to-itiveness. We need to be financially fit. See, the Bible says, men, this didn't feel right when I read it, but I got to pray and ask God for help to do this. Good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren. That's what real men do. I'm working now so I can take care of my grandchildren. I can leave a legacy. You think God can't do it? We serve the King of the universe, fellas. It should be your orders, Lord Jesus. How do you want me to get this done? You promised, you said you could. I'm standing in line and I'm waiting your orders to make it happen in my life. There's nothing too hard for God, for you to take care of your children and your children's children. Now. Might have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. This is what God challenged me. There's no way I can handle and accomplish all the stuff I'm trying to do unless I get up that early. Oh, well, it's not that deep. It's not that serious. It's not. What is then? What are you willing to sacrifice, men, to accomplish your goals? Sleep? Xboxing? That's a new one. I like that one. Xboxing. I'm going to keep that. Because, fellas, y'all know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, you look up and see, back in the day when I was in high school, I used to do this all the time. All of a sudden, I'd be playing. You know, I was into Final Fantasy. Anybody know about Final Fantasy? Yeah, I mean, you could find yourself all the way in there. And that's it. And it's like a movie. These games are really sophisticated. You can find yourself 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 hours on one video game. And all of a sudden, it'd be nice when, man, I'm just playing, I'm tired, I'm rubbing it, I've got, you know, drinking my energy drinks. It's just, I got to finish this board, I got to finish it. You know, birds chirping in the morning like, whoa, what happened? We got to be careful about those things, guys. We got to be careful. So winners, so we have a written game plan, and we have our socially sharpened and our financially fit. The last one is that we are heading towards being spiritually whole. Now, everybody has had challenges and trauma in their life, but winners don't get stuck. They don't make excuses. Oh, you know, I was abused at 10 years old, so that's why I'm not good at relationships. And that shouldn't be your life story. You are not defined by what has happened to you. We should be able to move past even the worst situations. Now, it's not easy. That's why it's a process. We have to continue to grow. And even if it's just a fraction of an inch every day, it is just like getting physically fit. The same principle. We have to want to work out and to get up and to get where we need to get so that we're not regressing as we get older and getting heavier and more out of shape. If you can't run for the bus, If it's a block away, you run for that bus, and you're about to pass out. You got to get the bus. You get on the bus. Instead of them taking you where you're supposed to go, they take you to the hospital. That's a problem. Just one block. I know it's hard to get in shape, but my wife and I laugh about it all the time. Let me tell you what's just as hard or worse, staying out of shape. Some of us know as you get older, all of a sudden you try to go and do something like, whoa, what? I thought, how did that? But I'm telling you, it's like the more you stay out of shape, it's worse than getting in shape and being sore the next day after you come back from the gym. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You sore, but I promise you, being wake, you sleep 8 hours and wake up exhausted? Anybody? Okay, let me just keep going. Maybe that's just me. Hopefully that's just me. The Bible says in John 5, verse 5 through 6, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He says unto him, wilt thou be made whole? So not that you have spiritual challenges and issues and things to overcome. Jesus is asking your permission to come into your life and fix the mess. He will never just come and kick down the door of your life. He wants to be invited in. So we have to be winners. Say, you know what? I invite you in, Lord Jesus. I can't handle this myself. I need your strength and power to get over this. I'm tired of where I am, and I want to move forward. So as we wrap up, 4 points on how to be a winner. How do we get this done? How does it happen? Okay, 4 points real quick. Number one, we have to surrender. We have to surrender. We have to say, you know what? I want to take my game to the next level. I need a coach. Some of us guys, we are so prideful, and we think, oh, I can do it. I can look up on YouTube, and I can go to the gym by myself. I'm talking to myself now. And I want to do some things. But if we humble ourselves and say, you know what? I need a coach. I need a coach that has expertise in the thing I want to accomplish so that they can help me come up with plan and steps in order to accomplish those things. So that's what winners do. Winners say, the best athletes on planet Earth, every single one of them has a coach. You know, I read Tim Grover. If y'all know Tim Grover, he's the trainer for Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade. Now, these guys just aren't winners. They are champions, multiple champions, and they all had coaches. We need to surrender and humble ourselves and say, Lord, I want you to be my coach. What do you want me to do, coach? See, and then you know, those of us that know basketball and follow basketball, they say that guy was a cancer. He was uncoachable. In the locker room, causing havoc, causing drama, don't want to pass the ball, thinking about himself. But see, winners say, you know what? I'll humble myself and I'll be willing to allow myself to be coached. So we must surrender and we humble ourselves. So the Bible says that we must surrender. Number one. So that's point number one. Point number two is that we must stay consistently connected. Consistently connected. Winners stay consistently connected. Who does LeBron James work out with in the offseason? Kevin Durant. The two top players in the NBA right now, they work out together in the offseason. Now, some people say, okay, well, why are y'all working out? You're supposed to be going against each other, blah, blah, blah. But they know that Bible principle, iron sharpens iron, good players sharpen good players. If you want to get better, you don't go to the JV side of the gym. You go to the varsity or the adult side to play, fellas. If you want to get better. But if you're okay with mediocre and being doing things halfway, then okay, well then stay where you are. But guess what comes along with that? Frustration, anxiety, stress. But see, when you're a winner, at least you can wake up. I'm sore, but I'm winning. I'm on my way towards victory. The Bible says we press toward the mark, press towards victory, press towards perfection. Those championship players and teams, they don't get satisfied with just one. They say, how can we multiply success? So we have to surround ourselves. The Bible says, John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me stays connected. Stays connected, our theme. Abides with me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me, you could do nothing. And last point, how to be a winner. Last point is that we connect with other winners to turn around and help someone else win. So we can't be successful and not want to be able to turn around and help someone else be successful, to help someone else win. That's what we as Christians, we shouldn't get baptized in a pool and think I'm good, waste 20 years going through the Sabbath school quarterly and haven't thought about bringing somebody else to Christ. I haven't thought about having a Bible study in your house. Maybe they have issues with the church. They'll come to your house. I mean, how many Sabbath school quarterlies you want to go through? See, let me just. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good character. So the inverse or the opposite must be true. Good company helps build character. Shouldn't that be true? One more text, Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to hang around winners' church. We need to hang around other like-minded believers that want to win in their relationship with Christ. Not only win so much and be so attractive so that the world and Tacoma Park will want what Tacoma Park SCA Church has. That should be our goal, church. That should be our goal. And as I close, this is, we talked about Black History last Sabbath at our TP2, our youth church in the youth room. And I found this quote that really floored me. It said, Harriet Tubman said this. She said, I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves. That floored me, y'all. My wife, Antoinette, is going to sing. And I want you guys to think about where you are now. And if you say, you know what, I want to be a winner starting today. Go ahead, Anthony.
Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope it's not too late. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Give me you, everything else can wait. Lord, give me you. I hope it's not too late. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Give me you. Give me you. Give me you, everything else can wait.
As she continues to sing quietly, I found this story. I'm going to read this.
I hope it's not.
an old farmer walked into the tool department of at the local hardware store. "May I help you?" the clerk asked. "I'm looking for a new saw, young man." "Just what kind of saw do you need? What do you plan to use it for?" The old man scratched his head. "Well, I suppose I'll be needing it mainly for cutting firewood." "Right over here," the clerk said, and led the man over to the aisles. "This," he said, pointing to a chainsaw, "would be just what you need." "Never did use one of those," the old man said to told him. "Is it faster than a handsaw?" "Oh, there's no comparison. In fact, I bet you could saw 20 trees with this chainsaw in the time it would take you to saw with one handsaw." So the old man bought the chainsaw and left the store. 2 weeks later, the clerk saw, to his surprise, the man with the chainsaw in hand. "Well, what do you think?" the clerk asked. "It's the worst saw I've ever used. I've been trying to cut down one tree for almost 2 weeks, and I'm still cutting. I'm returning this and buying myself a handsaw." "Let me take a look at it," said the clerk, as he picked up the chainsaw. Stepping back from the counter, he yanked the starter rope and the saw roared into action. The old man nearly jumped from under his straw hat and said, "Whoa, where did that noise come from?" Some of y'all got it. The point is that the power was there the whole time. You just had to take advantage of it. And if anybody under the sound of my voice says, "You know what, Pastor? I want to be a winner in my career, in my house, at school, whatever I'm doing, I want to win." I want you to stand to your feet. If you want to win, let me pray for you. And I got one more part to this appeal. And you say you want to be a winner. Now, some of us have made a lot of bad decisions. Some of us have lost in relationships. Some of us have been abused and been the abuser. Some of us have not stepped to the plate and done what was necessary in order to win and allow God to win through them. And you say, "You know what? Today is the day I want to win. I want to accept the win that Christ made on the cross on my behalf today." And if that's you, I just want you to come out of the aisle real quick. As Anthony sings one more time. If this is God talking to you, you know you want to win, you're tired of losing, you want special prayer, and you want to turn your life around, I invite you to come. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Young people are coming up. They want to win. Here's some more. Young people want to win. They don't like the direction this word is going in. You might not either, but you have to choose a side that you're going to win. Christ died so that we can win. We are on the winning team when we accept him. Anybody want to be on the winning team? Join Christ today. Come up front. Amen. Anyone else? God can do it. He can turn it around. The worst of the situation, he can turn it around. My God, our God is able. Is there one more? Pray, church. Pray. Pray with me. Pray with me. Is there one more? Today is the day. No more losing. No more waking up with a losing attitude. Because Christ won, I can win. He promised that I could win. He will do it through me. I can't. He can. He can through me. Let that be your prayer. Anybody wants to be that prayer? I can't, he can. He can through me. If that's you, I want to invite you up. Let's pray, church. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we humble ourselves today. We surrender. I thank you for these young people that have chosen. They said, I want to win today. I want to win. I'm tired of where my life is going. I'm just not satisfied with it. And I want to win. I want to know what winning feels like in my heart and in my life. I want to be the head and not the tail. I want your purpose to be manifest and lived out in my life today. Lord, this world, we it's so many challenges. It's almost like I don't even want to turn on the news. What tragedies happened today? But like Taylor sung, your love is the same. No matter what mess we've made with our lives, your love is the same. And the gospel of Jesus, like Jesus Christ, has transformational power. I pray these young people from this day forward will win like you won here on earth. And walk around with confidence and with power so that other young people can want what they have. How come you're not stressed out? How come you're doing so well? Where does this confidence come from? And they can point to you. It's my relationship with my Father in heaven. It's my relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died so that I can win, and he wants you to win too. Father, let Tacoma Park be what this community wants for themselves. So that all we can do is we can do it together. We can connect with you, the source of our strength, the source of our power. But all we have to do is ask. There's nothing special about it. We just have to humble ourselves and ask, God, I need you. Once again, God, I want you to bless these young people, Lord. Give them courage to say, you know what? I don't have to walk my head down because I'm a Christian. I'm on the winning team. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you today. Because you've won, we can win today. May that be the motivation. Every morning we wake up, we have the winner's mentality. By faith, everything our hands touch will be blessed. Let us be light and salt in our schools, in our jobs, and in our communities. Bless us today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people said together. Amen. Amen.